If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
I love it. I like where we are. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Maybe don't love where the Astros are offensively with the bats. It's been a little so-so. From time to time, and not even from time to time, the whole time.
Yeah, pretty much the whole time.
They've managed to get some wins through here, though, mm-hmm. which has been at least some level of solace. It hasn't been as fun as we discussed yesterday to watch it happen, but hey, stay attached and hope that the bats can come along earlier, sooner rather than later. But I kind of want to narrow down a little bit quicker, a little bit more, because the talk of spring training on these airways, and I think even well beyond that, was what, Lopez?
You got to bring him up.
Him being?
Yeah.
Cam Smith, like acquisition that you had, your number one prospect after you traded away Kyle Tucker. And it was kind of, at first you were like, all right, Isak Paredes, and then this, you got this guy, or you got Hayden Wesneski, you got this guy in here, like maybe he'll do something. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you got to meet him, as soon as you got to see him, especially when he got out here, it was very abundantly clear, oh, this guy, there's a reason why he's now your number one prospect. He looks pretty good. And then you're right. It came to a conversation where we were going, when do you bring him up? And we acknowledged early on that we were in that place where we're like, all right, we're doing a little too much right now, but we want to see him up yeah. with the big league club. And as spring training continued, he just kept, you know, good approaches, hitting the ball well, seemingly handling right field, or not even right field, because that was early. It was before that. He mm-hmm. was playing in the infield and third base and such. And then when you moved him right field, it seemed like he was okay. And you're like, all right, I think you need to bring him up. And mm-hmm. ultimately, Dana Brown and the organization agreed. And he starts with big league club. And since then, it has not been what you could have expected or hoped. And maybe is the better way of putting it as, I mean, he is batting a robust 143. And of mm-hmm. course, that's a joke. It's not robust. And his OPS of 488. And that has helped greatly by the fact that he had, what was it, 144 yesterday with that RBI triple. His first triple, his first RBI. And it was, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was one of those, it was pulled down the line, and it was one of those things that you imagine that when you pull it down the line, maybe that's a double, but he's got so much speed where he turns it into triple. I was so happy to see that. And yet and still, I was like, did they make a mistake? Now, full disclosure, I was thinking this before yesterday's game, and mm-hmm. yesterday's game, I do wonder if it changes your mind at all, but Lopez, do you feel at all that they made a mistake in bringing up Cam Smith, a man who had only had 20 at-bats in the minors prior, and you no experience in right field as you were changing him there just to get him up? Like, did they make a mistake? Did I make a mistake mm-hmm. in clamoring for this to happen at the start of the year?
I think, frankly, not only did they not make a mistake, I think it's kind of silly. You know,
silly.
Obviously, not silly to have the discussion. You know, because obviously it's going to be a discussion. You know, with his batting average and the struggles, and as you mentioned, sometimes even looking a little lost at the plate. My point is this, and I'm adamant about this. You made this decision based on what you saw in spring training, the prospect that he is, and the, you know, the approach, you know, his attitude, his general makeup, et cetera, et cetera. But the other thing that was a factor here is you knew this was going to happen. You know, we said it. We said it on the show. He's going to have some bad stretches. He's going to have some lulls. I kept bringing up the example of Alex Bregman, and I can't remember the numbers exactly off the top of my head right now, but I want to say it was like 3 for 35 in that range to start his career as a big time prospect with the Astros. Also a college player, had a few more minor league games, but not a whole lot more. I mean, maybe like 80, 60, something like that. So you make this decision knowing this is going to happen. I mean, this should not be a surprise. You base the decision, though, on all the other factors of how he can play, what you can see, and, you know, certainly his makeup, et cetera, et cetera. It was not a mistake until we get to June, and if it lingers, to me, it's a no-brainer. In fact, you should probably put him out there even more, although I get not playing him every day because you want him to sort of regroup, you know, get into the cages, go under the stadium, hit off the machine, talk to some veterans, you know, talk to the hitting coach, which might be a mistake. But anyway.
Okay. You're going to get on the conspiracy at this point? Is that what you want to do?
Was that out loud?
Do you really want to do that?
Work on everything. Understand you're a kid. We expected it. Keep going.
Okay, the only thing about that, and you hit on one of the places where I want to go, so let's just go there. He has been in games 7 of the 11, and mm-hmm. one of the big kind of quotes that we got from Dana and the, you know, brain trust of the Astros before this decision was ultimately made mm-hmm. to, you know, start him up with the big league club was, this decision is going to be made based on the idea that we want him to be able to play every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they already, within 10 games, 11 games, they already have not lived up to that in a way that's pretty substantial, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he's playing half of the games, but not playing 4 out of 11,
yeah,
that's significant, especially for a guy who you do want to get into the rhythm of doing these things. Mm-hmm. And I do wonder if that was in some ways an acknowledgement that we might have rushed him up, even if we're going to hold with him in this point, because
that's an interesting question.
He needs the at bats, he needs the opportunities, but I think that inherently maybe comes back to that question of, should you have given him a little time in AAA, even without like the idea of service time manipulation or anything, just mm-hmm. so that you have that opportunity to play every day and work through some of these things and figure out some of this at a closer to major league level, because he is out here like just whiffing, like his barrel rate is literally zero. And I know that that's not like, that's an advanced stat that maybe doesn't mean a lot to some people, but he's literally just not barreling things up. I mean, his approach is still one that I think is admirable, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of things that he is learning and developing in, and that's the whole idea of him playing every day. And I do wonder if like it wouldn't have been better to give him an opportunity to start off at that level. And I understand what I'm saying now is in direct opposition with mm-hmm. what I was saying earlier. I am holding that myself, but I mean, you looking at, and of course being entirely results oriented isn't the way, and I think that's what you're mm-hmm. you're talking about, is look at the process that you went through. But I think even with the process, you have not held steady to that, and that's in part because I understand the defensive substitutions really late as he's learning, but the idea that you have him entirely out at times to put other guys in the outfield and to take those at bats feels like it's in some ways betraying the I guess contract of sorts that you set up to start this thing.
Well, I don't think it's a bad argument to ask the question, or bad question to ask the question, should we have maybe put him in, you know, started him at AAA or Sugarland or whatever, for the sake of AA, I should say, Corpus Christi, for the sake of his game, you know, not the service time.
Yeah.
But my point is you came into this starting him in the big club with your eyes wide open, knowing what was coming. So it's almost like, it's not like an admission of guilt. It's almost like you're taking a step back at this point, because you do want to play him a lot in the big leagues with big league pitching. You understand, as I mentioned, what he is as a person and how he can handle these things. You might ask the question, maybe we should have gone the other way. But I almost feel like you're too far in now to all of a sudden. I think that would hurt his mental approach more than keeping him.
Sending him down?
And having him confident, yeah.
Okay, so
And having his back. So
this season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus, tax for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account. Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fully talk about this, right? Yeah. Like you have him, you have Zach DeZenzo, you have these guys here, but he clearly isn't hitting well. Like, is this something where you're willing to just ride it out and try and let him find it? Because you've already shown that you're willing to move some things around, and some of that I imagine is to get DeZenzo some opportunities. But you've played, Dubon was in center, mm-hmm. Dubon was in right. Like you've played, you know, a utility guy, and it's kind of interesting, and I guess probably to your happiness that he has, you know, exhibited more right. of a utility role than Mauricio Dubon. But even he has come in and played in right field in a place where you're not playing either of the young guys mm-hmm. that you said you were trying to give every day at bats to in that instance. It feels like that is in some ways an acknowledgement that there's still, like, you want to give him some space and some room and some development. Does it not seem like something that would be maybe beneficial to give him an opportunity to get, like, to jumpstart this, especially with you have no cover for him? Like, I feel like yeah. you probably saw this as a possibility of maybe he struggles, but you have other guys that you need to be able to produce. Those guys aren't doing it either. And I think that, again, shines a heavier light on the idea that Cam Smith does not seem like he's, like, the bat is fully ready, or at least it's not, you know, doing what you need to at this level right now.
Is the bat not fully ready, or is it just, you know, a matter of learning what he's looking at now, you know, the adjustment game, et mm-hmm. cetera? I mean, that was, like, what he did yesterday, I mean, we kind of casually talked about it. That should not have been a triple.
No.
That was a double every day of the week.
That's the raw speed that yes. shows up there. And so, obviously good base running. I don't want to take that away.
And hitting the pitch the way he did. And, you know, in that moment, he obviously showed exactly what he is. I just feel like you look, not necessarily look, I think your process of bringing him up should be questioned if you send him down right now. Again, maybe late May, June, whatever it is, and he continues to struggle, that's okay. one thing. And I just looked it up. How many games has Cam Smith played? 11. First 11 games, Alex Bregman played 5 for 42. I mean, this is what happens when you have if you know what you have, you ride it out. If you know what you have, and I think they know what they have, because if you send him back down now, then the argument becomes, man, they only gave him 11 games.
All right, so, and I mean, it's worth also noting, 10 strikeouts early on, right? Like, that's mm-hmm. also another part of this.
Alex Bregman, 12 strikeouts.
Sure, but...
You know, it happens.
You're also in a different... You're in a different place yeah. in your organization, but... Should you be looking at this from a perspective of making yourself right or wrong, or should you be looking at this from a perspective of what's best for the dude? And I want to ask you the question again from this perspective. What do you think from here is the best for Cam Smith in this moment to get him to... get him as soon as possible to his best level of play?
I think it's what's best right now. I really do. Like, you had to come into this with your eyes wide open. I can't reiterate enough. We talked about it. I know I said it. Like, he's going to struggle. It's going to happen. Well, it's happening.
Okay.
You know, but if you know what you have in Cam Smith, and I think they do, and you know the prospect that he is and what's in there and his approach, his mental capacity, his mental approach, and what he can handle and how he accepts adjustments and scouting and tips and everything else, then you write it out. I don't mind the question.
No, I hear you.
I don't mind the question. You know, was it a mistake? Maybe they're sitting there going, like I said, maybe we should have done that. But I don't think at this point you do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I do think I was encouraged yeah. maybe less about the triple, but more about, did you see the defensive play that he made in the top of the first, mm-hmm. right? Like the way that he came on nice to, I can't remember who hit that ball deep into right field, but came on nicely to it and, you know, made a good grab there. And we've seen some kind of iffy play in the corner there, obviously in the other corner. We've obviously seen some iffy play as well from Jose Altuve, but we've seen a little bit of iffy play, understandable for a dude who's just picking up mm-hmm. outfield. But seeing that immediate, like, the point of growth and seeing, like, the benefit of the speed that he has out there in right field, I was encouraged by that, so that, all right, maybe the defense also is getting to a place where you feel better and you're getting closer to, like, an average level of play out there. But, I'm going to be watching this space, and it's going to be worth watching to make sure that not just, like, the results, but the actual process and, like, him being at the plate, mm-hmm. being able to, like, not be an easy out in those instances, being able to make pitchers work, like that continues, because at some point, and I think you want to be very careful about this, you don't want to leave him up here if it feels like at any point that not the weight, like mentally, but like literally just the power that you're going up against with some of these really good pitchers, and some of the different instances of playing at the major league level, if that doesn't become overwhelming to his development. I think I'm with you that you stay the course for the time being, but I think you have to be very, very attuned to what's happening to Cam Smith. And I probably think that play the damn dude, man.
Well, like, here's the other thing. He's not getting much help.
That's fair.
That matters. I mean, Christian Walker has batted right ahead of him a couple of times, and Christian Walker isn't doing much or in the same neighborhood of where he is. You know, whether, you know, Jeremy Pena, Christian Walker, the three guys I mentioned earlier, sure, it would be nice to get some help around you, you know?
Yeah, and there's a number of people on the text line who seem to be with you. The idea of, you know, play him like it's fine. And then one of the things that the kind of refrains that keeps coming up is, well, the whole team isn't hitting. And I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not giving him cover. But I think you have to consider those things when you're making your decision, that, hey, can you afford this with the larger, context of what's happening? But I think also for him, it's a level of individual difference here, which is, hey, man, even if everybody else was hitting, if this is going to be an issue for him, being at the major league level, then you probably need to do what's best for him.
Yeah. Look, nobody likes it.
No,
nobody likes it. All the guys that made the decision. But you've got, and it's not like remain calm, stay the course. No, you're watching it, but you're not doing anything too hastily.
And, of course, as we're talking about this, the Astros put out their lineup against Luis F. Castillo. That's what's happening. I forgot.
Oh, the other.
They got two Luis Castillos. I was pulling my hair out today like, wait, didn't Luis Castillo go yesterday? There's two of them. That's right. There's two of them. Altuve is DHing, which means Yordan is in left. He's batting third after Isak Paredes, as is expected. Caratini behind the plate today. And
all right, that's interesting.
Cam Smith in right field.
Mm-hmm. Batting eighth?
Batting ninth.
Ninth.
So in some ways, an acknowledgement. Yeah. In some ways, an acknowledgement of what we're talking about here. But get him in, at least let him play. That's my portion of it. Yeah. At the very point, let's live up to, you talked about, you made your decision, you went on this process. Live up to that. Let the man get his at-bats, because that's the thing that would be a real problem. Like, obviously, I'm concerned that you're not seeing the fullness of, you know, what you were hoping for from his bat. But let him work through it, because I think it's even worse if you have him at the major league level and he's not out there getting opportunities to swing the bat. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up in the next hour, keep it locked, because if you are a fan of Brian Regan, the comedian, we'll have an opportunity to win some tickets to a show for his in December. You definitely want to see that through. But coming up next, it's about the time where we get to our lunchtime confessions presented by the Men's Clinic. We will do that next.